I'm Georgina Robinson. This is a Please Explain podcast extra. April 4, 2018. Rugby union star Israel Folau was asked by a user on Instagram what God's plan for homosexuals was. Hell, he replied, unless they repent of their sins and turn to God. Folau wasn't bigoted or homophobic, he said. He was guided by his Christian faith. But when new Instagram comments emerged a year later and were described as anti-gay, Rugby Australia said they wanted to sack him.
I spoke with Israel last Friday. Andrew and I had a meeting with Israel last Friday and he was unapologetic for his posts and his position and that left us with no option but to move forward to the position that we're in today. It was made very clear to him and explained the implications of this type of posting and that the grief that it causes and disrespect that it causes and harm that it causes for our rugby community, and that's not a position that we're prepared to move forward with.
Folau, on the other hand, wants to stay in rugby, so the matter is being heard in a Rugby Australia Code of Conduct hearing this weekend. Today we're joined by the Herald's Managing Editor of Sport, Ian Fuge, and columnist, author and former Wallaby, Peter Fitzsimons, to dissect a case that's opened up all kinds of issues. Thanks for joining us, gents. Fitzy, I'll start with you. What's all the fuss about here? We've got NRL players facing serious criminal charges, you know, of domestic violence and sexual assault. What's Izzy really done wrong?
I put it to you, Georgina, if in the course of my employment, I put out on social media, all gays are going to hell. I think Ian would send me a very strong note saying, what the hell are you doing? Stop that. Most employers across the land will have a thing which says you can't put that stuff out there without there being consequences. This was made absolutely clear to Israel Folau last year. He put that post up. Now, Australian Rugby then took the decision, we're going to employ him again. We're going to sign him to a four-year contract on $1 million a year. We're told, Bill, it made it legally enforceable that he not post again. He did post again, and now what the test before us is whether Rugby Australia was correct in that it is legally enforceable.
Fuge, can I come to you? Does the punishment fit the crime?
It certainly would seem to be a draconian punishment if he's banned from sport in this country or banned from rugby, which I imagine would exclude him from all sport in this country. But I think as well that what's happening is that the issue's focused around Israel Folau and what he said, whereas there's a broader context here, which is however distasteful and however hurtful and however damaging the post that Israel Folau has made, there's a freedom of speech issue right at the heart of all of this. And it would seem to me that anybody who cares about civil liberties in this country has to be able to endure some form of dissent, has to be able to endure disagreement. So whereas I think there's a very understandable angst that Israel, in such a public position, has proselytised such uncomfortable views, I just think Australia needs to be very careful, or we need to be very careful as Australians, if we start to shut dissent down, because freedom of speech is a hard-won freedom. The world has changed a lot over the past 10, 15, 20 years. And in a sporting sense in Australia, Rugby Australia, formerly the ARU, has been at the very forefront of, you know, inclusion policies around its game. If you go onto its website now, you'll see Playing with Pride. There's obviously the absolutely celebrated Wallaby David Pocock having very strident views around same-sex marriage, etc. Do you think, given that background, do you think there's any sense whatsoever in which they're making an example of Israel, or is this a situation that's just landed on their doorstep and they're being put in the unfortunate position of having to deal with a problem that applies to sport across the country?
That's a very interesting question. The short answer is this is absolutely them just dealing with the biggest headache they have ever had to deal with, and a completely unexpected one, given they thought they'd kissed and made up with Israel Folau last year. In a show of good faith, probably the CEO Raylene Castle's biggest lesson in her first 18 months in the job, put her trust in someone who has shown he doesn't deserve it. Interestingly, their first response to it, 4 days after he made the post, when they dropped the big media release saying, our intention is to terminate him, they made no mention of the fact that they cannot simply tear up his contract, that if he wants to fight it, there is actually a process set in stone that they must go through. So that initial, I called it in one of my pieces, a mic drop of a media release. It was definitely a PR win. They wanted to get the message out there that this game has had enough of that sort of attitude, and certainly from that player. I think the legal arguments are worth going into. I've talked to a few workplace lawyers and they say that the strongest legal argument Rugby Australia has is that it is his second offence. The second strongest case that he has, and I think, Fitzy, you've written about this, is that it's caused significant dislocation among the playing group.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you talk about in rugby, the vogue phrase, have you lost the dressing room? And that's usually applied to a coach. You know, has the coach or coach not lost the dressing room? Well, in this case, for the first time ever, in fact, I've heard it applied to a player. He's lost the dressing room. If I was in a team with Israel Folau 30 years ago and you had a guy willfully acting in a manner that will engulf the team in a wave of negative publicity, I would be pissed off. I mean, I would say, Israel, what the hell are you doing, mate? Keep it to yourself. You've got these beliefs. Great. You believe all this stuff. That's your business at your church on a Sunday morning. That's what you want to do. But for Christ's sake, visiting that upon us, simply not on. Pull your head in.
It's a timely point to bring up the Bible and his religion, because from people I'm talking to, I think the argument that his legal representatives will go down is that all Izzy did was quote the Bible in one of his posts, in his most recent post. And I think one of the arguments might be, is Rugby Australia, are you really going to go down the route of censoring the Bible? Fuge, what's your take on that?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I think every time I've heard this argument discussed, I think it's always prefaced with the point being that the post by Israel, certainly damaging, definitely hurtful. You know, you could say obnoxious, you definitely could say bigoted. I've not really read anything that would suggest that people don't agree with that. But I do think that there's a real big issue about the fact that he's expressing a religious belief that is protected by, well, certainly referenced by international civil rights law, even if it hasn't been domesticated into Australian law yet, and is also actually protected by his own contract, where Rugby Australia, under their own member protection policy and under their code of conduct policy, says that people shouldn't be discriminated against on the grounds of their religion or their religious beliefs.
The other interesting thing, I think every sport in Australia is actually looking at this case. And the view is that this is actually, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Other sports will also have to deal with these sorts of things. The AFL, we've just seen Gary Ablett Jr. walk back his support in the form of a like of Israel Folau's posts on social media. What do you think other sports fuge will be thinking about this?
I agree with you. I think it's a question of when, not if. I agree that I think they'll be saying there, but for the grace of God, go I, because what Rugby Australia and Raylan Castle find themselves having to deal with right now is arguably shouldn't be dealt with by a sporting administration. We seem to be taking this conversation away from a player breaking the terms of his contract and actually talking about the religious freedoms and free speech in Australian society. I'm not sure that that's a discussion that should be had by a three-person panel, you know, referring to an appeal by a player who's expressed beliefs on social media. That seems to be a broader societal issue that maybe should be had in a different forum.
Fitzy, do you see in any way, shape or form a way that Izzy Folau may play rugby in Australia again at the end of all of this?
There is only one possibility. That would be that the three-person panel for the inquiry being held this Saturday finds in his favour, and then following that, he held a press conference and said, I wish to make it clear, I realise how many people I've offended, I won't do it again. I believe I don't take back any of my beliefs, but I'll be more circumspect in the future, and I'm very glad to be back, and something like that. But whereby two things would need to happen. One would be the serious legal beagles that understand all this and understand the contracts and so forth look at it and said, well, he hasn't broken the law. But to go with that, it would have to be him saying, I get it. I won't do this again. And I make a public commitment and I ask, you know, for the blessing of my teammates to return. So those two things, I think both things, extremely unlikely. You see that thing with Gary Ablett where, you know, as you mentioned, he simply pressed like and he was being booed by the people. What was interesting about that was Gary Ablett's not going to be booed for the rest of his life. He's not going to be booed next week. But that was an indication from the mob on that day saying, listen, we just don't do this shite anymore. If you vilify, if you put this stuff out there, well, people do care, and rightly so.
So one of the issues that's come up was the question about whether Israel's actions actually are vilifying or whether he's just expressing a belief, and they're actually misguided and obnoxious though they are. They're actually coming from a place that is trying to encourage his perceived sinners to repent. There doesn't seem to be a sense in which Falau's taken any joy out of what might happen to people who are on that list, which I think includes every single person listening to the show. Misguided though that opinion may be, there's a sense that Israel's proselytizing because he seriously believes it's his duty to do that, to encourage people to think about these issues. I'm not saying whether I think he's right or wrong there, but all I am saying is, does that necessarily tally with the idea of to vilify someone? Or is he just stating a belief and maybe trying to encourage people not to go to hell, I suppose?
Let's just say you were Jewish, okay? Let's just say, for argument's sake, you were Jewish. And I said, Jews are going to burn in hell. Would we be even having this conversation, or would it be clear that I had to go? With the gay thing, if saying you're going to burn in hell for the way you were born is not vilification, what the hell does it take?
What I've heard on that is saying that there is a little bit of a false equivalency there, because he's not saying that Jewish people should burn in hell. So you're drawing a parallel that doesn't necessarily exist.
If we say gays are going to burn in hell, there can be no doubt for me that that is vilification. If the law says broadly you can't vilify, that is against the law, and your employer is quite entitled to dismiss you, terminate your contract if you breach your contract, unless we can prove that it's religious. It's a lesson of wider Australia. Is that really the case? You can't vilify somebody unless it's religious, in which case it's okay. I mean, for me, that would be an absurd position to take, because if somebody's just vilifying somebody, saying, you know, yeah, well, gays are going to burn in hell, and that's what I think, the truth of it is, if it's backed by the force of religion behind it, that's what gives it actual serious impact on a lot of people, because a lot of people take that stuff seriously. The issue for me is most particularly the suicide rates among teenagers troubled by their sexuality is 5 or 6 times what it is for heterosexual, for straight teens. And we as a society, we have an absolute duty to make it clear that we don't do that anymore. And if somebody in the public square says you teens that are gay are going to burn in hell for all eternity, it behoves the rest of us in the public square to say to that person, shut the hell up. Medieval nonsense. Okay? We're the 21st century. Shut the hell up. And I think the employer is entitled to say that.
It's a valid point you raise, Fitzy. Its basis in religion does give it serious impact, and like it or not, it also gives him serious protection. Gents, that's all we have time for. Fitzy, I know you've got to run. See you later. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
This has been a Please Explain podcast extra. Our regular show will be in your feeds on Thursday. If you like what you heard, let us know. You can email us. Our details are in our show notes.